everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Bias Check-In.
Hi, everyone.
We have a very special set of episodes coming your way. But before I give anything up, Claudia, what are we checking in with?
As it is officially September, and I don't care what people say, it's after Labor Day weekend, so it is fall. We are checking in with a PSYOP initiative called SWAM. September is Smarter Workplace Awareness Month, which is all about how the science and practice of IO psychology can improve worker well-being and create more effective organizations. So if you've been listening to us for a while, you know, we never touch on these topics. It's completely off brand for us. But as we mentioned, we will be partnering with several IO professionals and the PSYOP Visibility Committee and the PSYOP Media Subcommittee to bring SWAM trends to your ears. And we are starting with Dr. Jacqueline Jensen, PhD in IO, currently serving as the Dean for Student Success at DePaul University and the PSYOP Media Subcommittee member on the Visibility Committee.
Dr. Jensen did her BS in psychology from Ohio State and her master's and PhD in IO psychology in Michigan State University. Her research includes the effects of stress and organizational justice on employees' attitudes and behaviors. Her applied research often is based on surveys and observations of employees in relation to career performance, job attitudes, turnover, and other workplace issues. Dr. Jensen, anything else you would like to highlight here? And welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me as a guest. I have been looking forward to this conversation for quite some time. I appreciate the chance to talk to you about Smarter Workplace Awareness Month. As you said in the introduction, it's an opportunity to really highlight all of the work that IO psychologists are doing around the world when it comes to trying to make the workplace smarter, more efficient, more effective, focused on, you know, creating a better place for employees and employers and really enhancing that relationship that, let's be honest, has been tested in some pretty significant ways over the last year and a half or so. And so having the opportunity to highlight the contributions of IO psychologists, both in science and practice during this month, is a tremendous opportunity. So thank you for having me on.
Of course. Well, starting from the beginning, I guess, what is this month's origin story? When did it start? How do we see the need for it?
Great question. So Smarter Workplace Awareness Month is in its eighth year. It began in September 2014 and is an initiative of PSYOP to really draw attention to all the great things that IO psychologists do. September, as you may know, is also Labor Day, a holiday that is celebrated that really draws attention to workers and laborers and the true and tremendous value that employees bring in all walks of life in organizations, big and small. And so it's a month that really gives some opportunities to talk about all the things that we do as practitioners, as scientists, as academicians that speak to a number of issues, including the top 10 work trends, another initiative of PSYOP that really highlights some of the things that are on the top of minds of people working and studying workplaces all year long. And so SWAM is really dedicated to promoting the many ways that IO psychology makes the workplace smarter, both in its science and its practice.
Amazing. And you mentioned the top 10 work trends list. What does that analysis look like?
Yeah, great question. So like many top 10 lists that tend to come out at various points in the year, PSYOP is no stranger to this. Thinking about work and the world of work is part of who we are as a society. And so every year in January, PSYOP releases its top 10 work trends list. And that list is gathered from feedback and input from PSYOP members at the end of the year prior, a survey and opportunities to provide insights in terms of what's on the mind of PSYOP members is put out to all of its members. The committee that I volunteer for does the hard work in terms of the analysis, in terms of listening to what trends our members are saying are on their minds. And then, you know, through the magic comes up the list of top 10 trends, which is promoted throughout the year as an opportunity to really speak to how our science and practice is addressing some of the things that are on the minds of people broadly in the workforce today. The top 10 trends for 2021 range the gamut of topics, including remote work and flexible work arrangements, to employee health, well-being, wellness, and safety. A number of trends speak to the issues and importance of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, as well as work-life integration, team effectiveness, cultures of agility and adaptability, as well as virtual learning. And part of this initiative around the top 10 trends is simply not gathering these trends from the input from our members, but also working to really highlight how these are also being talked about, both in the popular press as well as in the scientific press throughout the year. And so a new initiative this past year that we've started is identifying a trend champion, an individual or individuals who are experts in each of these spaces. And on a quarterly basis, they are gathering what's out there in terms of public writing on this or popular press writing, interviews with PSYOP members that they are quoted in the media, or other scientific papers that speak to sort of this trend in the moment. And on a quarterly basis, these trend champions are authoring write-ups, roundups actually, that appear on the PSYOP website that really speak to how these trends are not just something that matter in, you know, the top of the year, but are something that are being actively talked about and written about throughout the year. And it's great because this is an initiative that is rooted in the strength of our community as a society. And it's been fantastic to be able to leverage the expertise of these champions and really elevate the conversation around what's going on vis-a-vis these trends.
Sorry, we're just going back. Based on analysis of results from, we have that it's two surveys sent approximately to all PSYOP members, correct?
That's right. So around October, November, a survey goes out to all PSYOP members that says, tell us what's on your mind in terms of what you're hearing and seeing in terms of trends in the world of work. And we gather qualitative input from members in terms of what they're hearing and seeing. And then the media subcommittee of the visibility committee of PSYOP does some thematic coding and sorting in terms of how the different submissions of members really kind of sort together and come up with a slightly condensed list based on member input. And then a survey goes out asking individuals to pick some of the top issues that are on their mind that they see as a trend for the coming year. And then that is what ultimately whittles down to that top 10 list that gets published in January.
I think that's also a really good reminder for students, early career practitioners. I think a lot of us think that spring is PSYOP season. That is definitely the height of our social season, but your summary did a really good job of showing just how much work goes on behind and outside of the conference to really bring all of this to our newsletter, to our attention, to our surveys, and really keep moving PSYOP forward. The other thing we wanted to touch on a little bit was how to get involved. That's always something that we like to share, whether our listeners are students, early career practitioners, or further in their career, there's always a way to do so. Susie, how do we get involved with SWAM particularly? What do we do in September?
Keep an eye out for all the posts, labels, hashtag smart workplace on PSYOP social media. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The posts are specifically written for Smarter Workplace Awareness Month and will contain links to research articles and more interesting information about IO psychology. Based on that, Dr. Jensen, what are your thoughts on volunteering with PSYOP?
I am a longstanding volunteer of PSYOP. So to be honest, I am an enthusiastic supporter of getting involved. I think it is a great way to get more closely connected to the society. You get to meet colleagues that you likely wouldn't have otherwise necessarily connected with, given, you know, different work and social circles. And it's been a fantastic way to really appreciate all of the hard work that goes into running an organization like PSYOP. It really relies heavily on its volunteers. And I think when we all come together as a community and leverage our intellectual expertise and our hard work, then some really amazing things can happen, like this Trend Champions initiative that I talked about. We have long talked about ways of really trying to elevate the conversation and the voice of IO psychologists, notably PSYOP members, and trying to figure out how to really, you know, promote and get the word out about the amazing work that is being done. And we are not the only place that is doing that in terms of our media subcommittee. There's a whole visibility committee dedicated to trying to elevate that work. But I do think that the call for volunteers goes out on an annual basis. Our committee is, you know, constantly looking for folks who are interested in trying to raise the profile of IO psychology in the media. The Top 10 Trends Survey is one of those initiatives. Promoting Smarter Workplace Awareness Month is another, and the Trend Champions is a third. But we welcome volunteers and additional ideas and feedback about ways to raise that conversation and continue to promote the good work that IO psychologists are doing out there.
Dr. Jensen, so we've covered SWOM and we covered volunteering with PSYOP. Now let's go back to you as a professional.
Your LinkedIn profile, it says your research interests are specifically focused on incivility and bullying in the workplace. Personally, that was the first time I saw the word incivility related to IO psychology. So I was curious if you could talk a little bit, if you have any particularly fun or projects that you're cooking in your research lab, anything that you are willing and you can share, and maybe how do you see your research connecting to the top trends for this year?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yes, you are right. My area of research expertise is incivility, harassment, and bullying in the workplace. There's lots of different labels that are used to refer to this behavior: counterproductive work behavior, victimization. It really boils down to treating people terribly. And my focus is really to try to understand who tends to be targeted with this nastiness in the workplace and why. The second piece of my research portfolio is really about understanding the consequences. If you experience this type of hostility in the workplace, what does that mean for your job attitudes, your performance, your citizenship behavior, as well as the personal costs associated with experiencing rudeness and bullying, right? It's not just all on the professional front. There's ample research to show that it affects you personally as well. And then the third piece in terms of my research is really understanding, well, what can we do about this? And I look at this particularly from the vantage point of bystanders. Oftentimes this hostility does not happen behind closed doors. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. And so when there's a bystander or witness to this interpersonal hostility, under what conditions might bystanders be most motivated to say or do something, whether in terms of providing support or resources to the individual who's being targeted with this behavior, or even in terms of directly addressing it with the perpetrator? And so over you know, a period of my career, really trying to look at those three pieces: who's targeted, what's the impact, and what can we do about it? And so I have a series of projects that tries to address each of those questions, but they're really big questions. And you know, it's rare to come across someone who hasn't experienced rudeness, nastiness, hostility, whether in small or significant form. And so in having conversations with people, it is something that folks can relate to. And even if they haven't experienced it personally, they often can say, yep, it hasn't happened to me, but I've seen it happen to others. And so it's an unfortunate universal experience that I think we can all relate to in one way, shape, or form. And so I'm also motivated to try to address this issue or phenomena from the perspective of, it's not a good experience to have, and that's putting it lightly. And so that's really the crux of my research. It comes from my fundamental belief that we deserve to be treated fairly in all walks of life, work included. And so when I hear or see someone who is being targeted or treated poorly, it doesn't sit right with me. And so this whole research stream really comes out of my fundamental belief in justice and fairness, and really trying to address it from that perspective as well.
Thank you so much. I think we couldn't agree more. We subscribe everything, all of the above. It's, as you said, unfortunately, it's a universal experience that should not be so shared and common, especially to the point where it's sometimes sadly expected that we will experience it and that we will witness it in the workplace. So definitely not the trend we would want, but the trend we need to talk about. Can we say that?
I think so. Yeah, it's that hard conversation, right? That is really difficult to have. But you put it off, and then the problem does not go away on its own. The other question you had asked me was, what trends does this connect to, tying it back to the work of PSYOP? I think it connects to several. If you look at the top 10 trends list, which you can access via PSYOP's website, several of the trends speak to implementing strategies and measuring progress on diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, as well as social justice. Someone who's being targeted or treated poorly because of their membership in a protected class, whether it is their race or gender or national origin, clearly falls into the conversation that needs to be had in so many places about diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. This topic also, though, speaks to the trends focused on employee health, well-being, and wellness. My research shows that those who are targeted with bullying and harassment in the workplace absolutely suffer. And whether it's performance-related costs, sort of the above and beyond willingness to go above and beyond costs, it's the rumination, it's the playing over and over again the incident and trying to figure out what happened and why did it happen and why did that person say what he or she or they said to me and what am I supposed to do about it? Am I supposed to do anything about it, right? This narrative that occurs in people's minds is time consuming, it is energy consuming, and that mental energy that is spent trying to navigate what just happened then can't be used on focusing on your work. And so there are significant costs associated with this, whether that mental rumination, effects on your emotional health and your well-being, your engagement, your commitment, you name it, right? The list of consequences is far too long. And so this work definitely speaks to the trend of well-being and wellness at work, a conversation that is being had in a significant way right now, given what's been going on over the last year and a half. People have been pushed to the max and then some. And so, and I think that when we are at our wits' end sometimes in terms of our sort of resources and ability to regulate, we snap. We treat people rudely when that is not our intent, but that is unfortunately what happens. And I think we're seeing that happen now as people are under different and continuing pressures when it comes to work and balancing competing demands on their time. And so I think some of this also speaks to strategies about how to help people be successful and regulating some of these stresses and pressures so that it doesn't emerge in, you know, an unnecessarily rude or, you know, inappropriate comment that's being made. But that also sits just at one end of the spectrum. A lot of what I study is not just these, you know, subtle rude comments that come your way, but that are in your face nastiness, where, you know, it's discrimination, plain and simple. And so, you know, along the spectrum of what this hostility looks like, there are many different forms of it. And the bottom line is they are detrimental to employee health, well-being, productivity, as well as organizational functioning, right? I mean, and so some of this also speaks to the culture that the organization has created, the leaders that are hired and promoted and put in positions of authority to model good behavior and hold people accountable or not, as it may be. So I think from this, you know, this conversation, it speaks to a lot of issues that are no doubt connected. But I think as we think particularly about the expertise of SIOP members, myself included, we've got a lot to say on these topics. And that too is the value of having a whole month dedicated to promoting the science and practice of biopsychology through initiatives like SWAM or the top 10 trends. We're on it, right? And so part of the opportunity is really how do we get that expertise out for better consumption and better awareness and understanding?
Absolutely. To go not so back as your research, but to your current job as Dean of Student Success, what trends do you see connecting to your mission of serving the students?
Yeah, that is a great question. So I stepped into this role as Associate Dean for Student Success about 7 months ago. And it was after spending several years as the faculty director for DePaul's Master of Science in Human Resources program. So in directing that program, had a real privilege in terms of having a front row seat to working very closely with students going through our HR program. And hearing a lot about, you know, the things that they face in terms of, you know, challenges with being successful as a graduate student, notably. But, you know, keeping my ear to the ground in terms of what's going on with our undergraduate students, too, importantly so. I think since taking, you know, stepping into this role, the challenge has been this sense of connection and how that has changed in a significant way over the last year and a half. I'll also say I didn't need to step into this role to know that, right? I think anyone, whether you're closely connected to academia right now or even at a distance, you know how this living, learning, working remotely has been incredibly challenging. Even on the best day, you know, it's been tough for a lot of people. And so I'm particularly sensitive to and being mindful about how to reestablish and rebuild and regrow connections that have frayed a bit over the last year plus, but also doing so with an eye to, you know, what have we learned over this past year in terms of student preferences for how they live and learn and work, what their needs are in terms of being supported. Particularly as a whole person, right? We see students in the classroom and we think about their success when it comes to their mastery of class material and their course grades. That's only a small piece of what success looks like though in the academic world. It is also getting connected to co-curriculars and things outside the classroom that allow you to grow as a person and build connections, whether social connections or professional connections. That's really, you know, for so many, that's what, you know, college brings them the opportunity to do. And that's been really challenged this past year because it hasn't been as easy to engage remotely for some. For others, the ability to learn remotely has been a really incredible experience because they've been able to differently balance school with everything else that's on their plate in a much more manageable way. And so I want to think about that in terms of what supporting success really looks like in terms of meeting the whole person. I talked about academic success, co-curricular. It's also about the career piece, right? In terms of how is this degree actually going to help you get the job you want and sort of deliver, you know, that value to you in terms of moving ahead in your career. And so it's also success on the getting ahead in life conversation, which is the reason so many people go to school. And so I think it's a lot of pieces in that regard, while also being, as I said, incredibly mindful of the challenges this last year has presented our students. And I've presented those challenges really with, you know, an emphasis on COVID and how COVID has shaped it. But I would be incredibly remiss if I also didn't talk about it from the perspective of, you know, conversations that we absolutely need to be having when it comes to systemic racism and discrimination in so many circles of our lives, and how that impacts our students in terms of what experiences they've had, the types of experiences we're creating that are appropriately welcoming and show that we are listening and reflecting deeply on our own past behaviors, and creating communities built with students as opposed to for students. And that may not sound all that different, but for me, it is truly different because I want to build community and be a partner in terms of the types of experiences and spaces and clubs and groups and classroom environments that really are deeply informed by what our students want, as opposed to me saying this is the way it should be or that's the way it should be, because that's not necessarily in service of the students that we are ultimately here to try to support.
As former students and international students, I think we're both very grateful that you've brought on the belongingness and creating a community that supports students with students. Thank you.
Absolutely. When you started talking about inclusion and addressing the different challenges that students from different walks will experience, for the listeners, you couldn't see it, but I was doing a happy dance on mute in my chair because, and even when I'm on mute, I'm still trying not to make the chair squeak too much. But these are definitely the conversations that we need to be having. And absolutely, as former students, as educators, as people that like to talk and advocate on these topics, it's great to hear that our institutions are paying very, very active and not just reactive attention to it. And that even academia is starting to quickly move in the right direction. Dr. Jensen, the mic is completely yours. What would you like our listenership to walk away with?
Okay, so if I had one thing to leave your listeners with, I think that it's a combination of things that connect both to what's going on for so many people professionally, but also personally right now. I think that so many of us hold ourselves to really high expectations in the world of work, in our lives, in being able to balance, juggle, whatever verb of choice you want to put in there, right? And I think we are entering a time where the world continues to change on us, but many of us, particularly in academia, are expected to start this coming academic year with a plan. And with, you know, with a solid plan anchored in success. And I think I want to leave listeners with the thought that absolutely have that plan. But I think a colleague has shared with me that this year in particular is probably going to be more challenging than last year. Last year, so many of us were guided with one goal: health and safety. And that was priority. And in many cases, it meant living, learning, working remotely, because that was the safest and most prudent course of action. This year, it's not as clear. And we're seeing that play out in so many ways with conversations about return to campus, return to physical work. How many days a week should I be going to my office? How many days should I stay home? What's the right choice for me in my career? What's the right choice for me and my family? Am I vaccinated? Do I have vulnerable people that I live with, that if I'm going in, am I bringing potentially the virus home with me? And so there is not a clear path necessarily, and the situation is dynamic and is changing. And I think in terms of that, you know, holding ourselves to high expectations of success, having a plan, but also realizing that this is a very dynamic and changing situation is, you know, getting ready to have a plan A, but probably a plan B, a plan C, however many letters you need to go down, and being okay with perhaps not being okay. And that is a really, really challenging place to be. It's not comfortable. It's frustrating. We have a narrative about, you know, pre-COVID, how we lived and lurked and lived, learned, worked, commuted, socialized. We had a COVID narrative about, you know, doing those things remotely. But this in-between space is, we don't have a narrative necessarily for that yet. And so I think the headline is, be gracious with yourself, be gracious with your colleagues, be gracious with your friends and your family members and the people that you turn to for support, because everybody is doing their best to try to figure this out. And I think the more that we can talk about that openly, we can lean on each other and learn from each other and try to support each other as best we possibly can, right?
I think we couldn't have said it better ourselves. Thank you so much. That was a great message.
Absolutely. And that's also, I think, a really good way to summarize everything that we touched on before, and like having that common thread of please extend grace to yourselves and to those around you. Well, Dr. Jensen, thank you so much for being on our microphone and introducing SWAM, as well as your research on incivility and bullying in the workplace, student success, and how they're all related. And at the bottom line, we in the workplace and outside need to be able to treat people as people.
Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Thank you both. It's been a real privilege.
Well, that was an amazing conversation with Dr. Jensen. Thank you so much again for being on our mic and for bringing this collab between BCI and the Visibility Committee.
Absolutely. We are very excited to introduce the next episodes. And for anyone who's been listening to us for a little bit, you know, we walk the talk, we talk the walk. All of this is happening through networking people. So be nice, go to conferences, talk to people.
Okay, for your ears only, our next guest is Dr. Stacey Boyle. She is a trend champion for virtual learning. If you have questions for her, submit them through anchor.fm/biascheckin using the voice note option, or send us a message on Instagram.
Yes, and if you're not quite sure about what virtual learning subtopics we're going to talk about, what we mean when we say virtual learning in relation to IO. As a reminder, all the trends are available on the SIOP website. They are not behind the membership paywall. So feel free to go and take a look and let us know what you think ahead of the episode. And with that, you know what's coming next. This is the part of the episode where I tell you to stay in touch with us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, @biascheckinpodcast. Send us an email at biascheckin@gmail.com or leave us a voice note.
With that, we'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye, everyone.